Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Good evening, everyone. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. In our program, we have Brother Mark Shaheed will guide the listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. Listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. And without any further ado, we'll open up our show with Brother Mark Shaheed. Welcome, Brother Mark.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and to our very astute radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sahala alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation of prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, and producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudin of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday evening here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Slaudin, I'd like to welcome all of our listeners that have tuned in, either tuned in by dialing into the studio or by the internet. And we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We do invite you to ask questions and to make comments on any of the information that we may disseminate tonight on tonight's production. And we also are very much aware that many of you tune into IWDM Radio and the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab by listening in by way of the internet. So we want you to bring an open mind and an open heart. And the only thing that you need in this learning lab is a sharp pencil or ink pen and notebook paper, because we think that some noteworthy things can and will be said tonight, and you'll be able to jot that down to ask your question or to make a comment or just to let us know that what you've heard tonight, that it actually has resonated with you. So for those who listen by way of the internet, we would love to have you to be a participant, and you do have to call into the studio. Want to give that number now so you can take it down if you listen by way of the internet and something just kind of moves you a little bit. All you have to do is dial 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673 and press 1. And Dr. Slaudin or Rashid Salam will notify us that you have your hand in the air and you want to ask a question or make a comment. We also want you to know that this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, like the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, has a foundation. and this foundation comprised of three sources. The first source that we use is Al-Quran. That's the final revelation to all of humanity, not just Muslims, but all of humanity. The second source that we use is the life example in living the Quran by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That simply means that the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet. And the third source is the tafsir. That's the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. These are the three sources that comprise the foundation for disseminating the information education that we use on these learning labs. Over the years, this was established way back in January, the end of January 2017, we have established some staples here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big, big responsibility, and we want to dismiss that misnomer or misconception and perception that many may have that the nurturing and the cultivation of these vital components that comprise their holistic human being, we're going to be talking about holistic a little bit later on, the holistic human being is both the role and responsibility not only of the mother but also of the father too. Also, we establish as a staple the role and responsibility is for both the mother and the father to raise up our children to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, then their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means that those parents that are God-conscious, regardful of God in terms of their role and responsibility and the obligation that they have to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from those conscientious parents coming together. We also have established here is that it is Almighty God who's the Most High, who's the first teacher for all of his human creation. But after that child is birthed and brought into the new environment on earth, he has given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and also the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. And that means that it is the mother that will give the foundational knowledge not only to our baby girls, but also our baby boys. And it has become a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always give an overview for those of you, for whatever reason, last week you were able to be on, or just to refresh your memory, some of the highlight things that was disseminated last week. And for that, I have my very distinguished and esteemed host of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. Once again, assalamu alaikum, and it's always good to hear your voice here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Mark, and it is always good to be here. Thank you very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just great. You know, I'm always fired up. It's Wednesday, and that means it's Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And, you know, and just thinking about how this learning lab got its name, what better thing that we could actually talk about in terms of parenting skills from an Islamic perspective. And we know that the construction of family life, there has been a destruction, so it has to be reconstructed. And this is what's got to happen and needs to happen to really make a change in the world as we see it today. Dr. Slaw-Dean.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we are using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rita Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publication, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. In the last week's episode entitled Illustrate Consequences in a Vivid Way, we discussed the importance of expressing the results of actions for children in a way that is clear and leaves a strong impression on their mind. In addressing the terminology, we define consequence as the result of an action or situation / condition or of having a lasting effect. We have three types. We gave three types of consequences: natural, logical, or problem solving. And there's also positive consequences or positive consequences or positive reinforcement, as you can call it. So there are negative consequences and then there are positive consequences. And the positive consequences are also called positive reinforcement. We define vivid as producing powerful feelings or strong, clear images in the mind, very realistic. We started the discussion with Quran chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But Amar pointed out that in Baqarah chapter 2 of Quran, Allah is responding to the request to be given along to be guided along the straight path from the believers in Al-Fatiha. In his explanation, Lamar goes on to list who the guidance is for, as enumerated in the verse. But Lamar also points out that Allah identifies who will receive guidance are those who have good God consciousness, which is the word taqwa in Arabic. Believe in the unseen, establish regular prayer, spend out of what Allah has provided for them, for others, believe in Prophet Muhammad and that which was sent before him. The consequence of following these commands of Allah is victory, and that will be the positive consequence. At the end, there's a reward. For those who will reject the message of Allah, the consequence is that the heart is sealed and the disease will be allowed to increase. The hearing is also sealed. They deceive themselves. They will suffer a painful punishment for their lives. The negative consequences for rejecting Allah's message are precise, vivid, and clear. From these verses, we learn that Allah provides a perfect model for implementing consequences. Allah provides clearly defined instructions or directions. Then he describes what reward is granted to those who follow his instructions. After that, Allah gives a vivid image of what happens to those who do not follow his instructions or directions. The lesson for parents in this group of verses from Allah is we must begin to teach our children from the Quran. We should use the Quran as well as a hadith to teach our children about the reward for obeying the consequences of the reward for obeying and the consequences of disobeying Allah. Descriptions of the consequences, both negative and positive, are descriptive with vivid images and clear explanations that will appeal to the minds of children, inshallah. We continue with the three examples of vivid described consequences from the hadith as given in our resource book, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah. The lessons learned from these examples are, one, that the consequence of being selfish is hurtful not only to oneself, but it also brings harm and discomfort to others, especially those close to you. Number two, sometimes showing children the consequences of certain behaviors by letting them see examples of what happens to those who do not follow rules, regulations, and guidelines and instructions. This can make a lasting impression upon their minds. Give examples that children can identify and relate to. And number three, The third example demonstrates that children are capable of following logical progression of thought. So describe for children the consequence in a logical manner. This will create a vivid image that will touch their thinking. Consequences must be laid out, and parents must follow them through, must follow through on them. In conclusion, the consequences that are described in Quran and in Ahadith are so vivid and clear that the believer can visualize this action. This visualization can deter a believer from venturing into the realm of disobedience. Parents can use the Quran and Ahadith as a model for developing consequences for their children's acts of misbehavior and disobedience. In addition to describing consequences in a vivid and impressive manner, parents can also consider the following. Keep the consequences equal to the offense. Make it age appropriate. Make the consequence something that the child would not like to do or have done to them. Consequences can be positive or negative. Actions can be natural, logical, and problem solving. Teach children the purpose of the rule and start early. Back to you, Brother Mark.
I want to say Alhamdulillah, and for those who don't know, Alhamdulillah just simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And I just want to say review or overview, highlighting those things that was on last week's production. And Dr. Patricia Slaudine, before we get into tonight's topic, it's so very, very important that parents illustrate consequences in a very vivid way. It starts right there in the first social unit, which is the family life. And it starts early, just like Dr. Slaudine just ended, starting early, because they won't and they can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. You can't see God directly, or nor will you see God correctly. And then the Prophet Muhammad doesn't have a physical presence among us. He has what is a sunnah, his way, in terms of living the Quran. But that has to be seen through the parents, first and foremost. So you have to be exemplary of what the Prophet Muhammad, as being God's messenger, is in terms of exemplifying that, where our children can actually see that. They can, and when you say something to them in regards to consequences and also rewards, as Dr. Patricia Slaudine said, Allah says there's rewards for doing certain things. So what am I saying here? The conclusion is that the obedience begins first in terms of with the parents of our children, being obedient to rules and regulations and good things. And then there's a reward or there's a benefit that comes from that. Whereas that, the Bashir showed for consequences for not doing this, not doing that, we can flip the script in terms of actually showing our children that when you do these things, these are the benefits. These are the rewards that come to you. I don't know, but I know a few years ago, Dr. Slaudine, they used to have like they call career day in the secular, which is good, and perhaps in Islamic schools, where they bring in professional people. Okay? And because they did what they did when they were children, and they listened to their parents, listened to the good and all of these things, and they worked hard and they studied, and they prioritized their life in the right way, well, there was good consequences, and there was things that came about that was very beneficial for them, but their family, and they're able to give back to the community. I'm just kind of chronicle in this for us to really look at this in a real-like way. And then as our children grow up, we begin to direct them more to what God says if they start being obedient to the parents, those that they see, the mother and the father, then we point them to the Creator that has created everything they see and what they don't see. And they have a reverence or respect for what it is that God says in Revelation and how he speaks to us in creation and how his messenger demonstrated the Quran. So it starts like that in the home life, in the family life, the first social unit in human society. But it doesn't just stay there. There's a graduation, there's an elevation. And so then this prepares our children to be obedient and know there's good results from being obedient. I could say more, but I think I said enough. So we have an outstanding topic this week. Dr. Patricia Sordine, we'll give you an opportunity to introduce that. And want to say to our radio listener, if you just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And if you have any questions or anything that Dr. Patricia Slaudin or myself, Mark Shaheed, say, we'd like for you to press 1, ask your question or make a comment, or if what you're hearing is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. Dr. Slaudin, back to you.
Okay, Brother Mark, we're going to start with our chapter, Use a Holistic Approach. And I'll start by saying that there's some words in this chapter that we will stop and give our listening audience the definitions to. All right, Islam approaches the question of tarbiyah of human beings in a holistic way. It touches every angle of the human being to make sure that this tarbiyah produces well-rounded individuals who are justly balanced and moderate in their behavior. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, enter Islam in totality and don't follow the footsteps of Shaitan, for he is an open enemy to you. And that will be chapter 2, verse 208, for anyone who wants to write that down. In the same surah, the Quran talks about those who believe in some parts of the scripture, but not others, by describing them in a very humiliating way and by promising them severe punishment. It says, is it only a part of the book that you believe in and you reject the rest? The reward of those among you who behave like this is disgrace in this life, and on the day of judgment, you will be given the most grievous penalty. For Allah is not unmindful of what you do. And that one is also chapter 2 and verse 85. Now,
yes.
If you'd like to stop here, and you can give the definition for tarbiyah if you like.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, those are some powerful words that the Bashirs have given in regards to that. And we do, because this is a learning lab, and I know that perhaps we have those that are not Muslims. We may have some new Shahadas that hearing this word tarbiyah for the very first time, is a term that is used in the Quran. You hear the word Rab in tarbiyah. And so just simply put, tarbiyah, it's actually a split applied to parents and parenting, but also related to that is educating. And we know that in Al-Fatiha, when Allah says Rabbil Alameen, which is saying that God is the one that is the nurturer, he nourishes, he sustains, he guards and he protects, and he evolves the life that he creates. Well, when we look at God as Rab, and sometimes that's translated as Lord, but better still, seeing that God doesn't just create the life as alcoholic, the creator, he don't create the life and just leave the life. He nourishes the life, he sustains the life, he guards or protects the life, and he causes that life to evolve, even us as human beings. So when the baby is born, this becomes the role and responsibility for the parents to also nourish, sustain, guard or protect, and help the life to evolve. One of the things that Imam Muhammad said in terms of looking at Rob, one of the most important things to see Rob as teacher. This is why Tarabia actually illustrates two things. It's like trying to take the hot out of fire or the cold out of ice. Parenting and also educating, they come together. They are aligned together. They're inseparable. So if you haven't been seeing yourself, as an educator or a teacher, you have to begin to start seeing yourself as a parent and parenting as an educator and a teacher. This is what Tarabia is actually saying. And it's so very, very important because that should begin in the first social unit, which is the family life. Now, there's more can be said in regards to that, but we want to just give you something very simplistic when it comes to Tarabia. So when you hear that word, you know that it is...
finished. Press the pound key.
Okay. We're sorry about that. Okay. Parenting and educating. So I'll stop there in terms of what Tarabia, but what has been said, here, is very, very important by the Bashirs in terms of how important that role and responsibility actually is in regards to our children. I'll give it back to you. And this is some excellent, ayats that you actually.
To hear important instructions, press 2.
Okay, we need to cut that. Thank you. And when we talk about entering into this religion wholeheartedly and fully, not just picking and choosing what it is that you want to do, this is so very, very important for parents, but also teaching our children that we need to do that, because this relates back to last week when we enter wholeheartedly. The consequence or the reward, which sounds better, consequences can be positive and negative, then there's a reward for entering wholeheartedly, meaning that your heart is symbolic or emblematic of your intention, your pure intention, your motivation, your desire. And what should that desire to be? It should be to please your Lord and Creator. You owe your whole life to the one that has created you. That's the ding, ding. The root meaning of ding means debt. So we owe a debt to the one that has created us, and that is by living our life in accordance with God's will and plan for the human being. We as parents have to exemplify that for our children so they can see us doing it and make an impression upon them so that they will do it. And we are not to follow the footsteps. This is also in one of the ayats that was read by Dr. Sorrell Dean. And that simply means, footsteps. Our children watch the cartoons and they see the footsteps, and the footsteps are leading to something, leading to a tree, leading to a cave, leading to a mountain. We are not to follow the way of the shaitan, who is, as was in the ayah, an avowed enemy. Not a secret. He's taken a vow. Then I am going to mislead you. I am going to alter your perception in the communication that God has with his human creation. So this is very, very important for parents to know and for parents to be able to articulate that to their children, that they will at times hear a voice that's saying, do this, do this, do this. But that's why it's so important that in Tarabia, as in parenting, that we properly educate our children in an Islamic way from an Islamic foundation. Oh, I could say a lot more, and if you have questions, feel free to press 1, and we can go a little bit deeper. Get it back to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. You may have something you'd like to add.
Thank you.
No, I don't have anything to add at this moment. I'm just going to read a little bit more, and then we'll let you comment on some more. Okay, so this is an indication that Muslims should take Islam as a complete package. We should not pick and choose only what is convenient and easy to apply and leave behind other issues that may cause us some inconvenience. One of the common mistakes of parents in North America is the unbalanced approach in tarbiyah. For example, some emphasize the issue of wearing hijab with their daughters and do nothing else to prepare the child for this change. Yes, wearing hijab is important, but making sure that the child is convinced that it is the right thing to do is even more important. Using a comprehensive and well-rounded approach to tarbiyah is necessary to obtain the desired result. Islam respects thinking and encourages us to question in order to reach the right conclusion and understand the reasoning behind certain prohibitions. Forcing a child to do something without convincing him that it is the right thing to do can be very costly in the future. When the child becomes an adult and has the right to choose his way without the parent's intervention. And we know examples of that, how we have children who, when they're growing up, they're forced to do or told to do certain things, and then once they become adults, we've lost them. So that part is very, very important.
I do, and I think that's a good illustration with the author speaking about hijab. And we don't want our children just to do things and be just ritualistic. And then they ask why. And they ask why. And we can't explain to them why we should do that. I think that's so very significant to be able to communicate with your child, depending on the age and the stage they are in their life, to let them know the benefits. Not only now, but even for later, so that they have an understanding. You know, Dr. Salahuddin, Imam Muhammad once said that understanding is the home of the mind. Understanding is the home of the mind. I don't care what topic we talk about or whatever the subject is or the discussion is, even when we have with our children, our children want to get home with understanding. We need to know and understand what the Imam has said to us. We want our children to understand because we want them to have clear perception, to be able to see clearly, and to be able to make the distinction between the good and the bad, the good and the evil, the right and the wrong. And we want them to come, as the Bashir said, to the right conclusion. So the methodology that we use oftentimes, what they're saying, will determine the results. We want our children to be balanced. In a previous episode that we had here, there is some flexibility. We're talking about hijab or kimar in terms of dress. So Allah says, and we need to understand the Quran, that the requirement is to be modest. It doesn't say what you have to wear, but to be modest in your dress. And that's both, not only for our girls, but also for our boys. The same is applicable for the Muslim adolescent. Male and female, to be modest. So they could wind up being a trendsetter in terms of how they wear their clothes and everything, and it be modest. So this is very, very important when we're doing this, and we don't want to force and compel. So as soon as they feel as though they're emancipated, and oftentimes they feel like they're emancipated from the authority of their parents, I ain't wearing none of that stuff no more. We don't want them to have that type of thought in their mind. So communication demonstration and application is so very important. I could say more. I'll stop there. Dr. Slaudine.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. Very good point. To avoid this, parents should make sure that their approach to tarbiyah is a well-rounded one. It should cover various aspects and meet the child's various needs. Using stories, videos, Islamic camps, conferences, and other tools is very helpful in this. Parents should be careful not to overemphasize one subject and neglect other areas of tarbiyah. They should focus not only on filling the child's mind with knowledge, because this alone will not have an impact on the child's behavior, but they must also focus on teaching the child to implement what she has learned. Theory by itself has very little value without practice, especially considering that we will be rewarded only for what we practice and not for what we know. One story that stresses this concept is about the religious scholar who was approached by several of his students. They came to tell him about a man that they knew who had memorized all of the ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The scholar observed the man's behavior for several days and sadly noticed that his knowledge of the ahadith seemed to have no effect on his character. The scholar then returned to his students and told them that now they all had an extra copy of the Sahih al-Bukhari. As parents, we do not want our children to be an extra copy of Sahih al-Bukhari or even an extra copy of the Quran. It is much more valuable for the child to understand and apply the knowledge that he learned. This concept is shared by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said, "We used to learn the Quran 10 verses at a time. We would memorize them, act upon them, and then move on to the next 10 verses. And thus, we learned the knowledge and applied it at the same time." Another indication of the importance of implementing what we have learned is the Prophet's behavior. Is the Prophet's behavior as explained in the following hadith. When Aisha radiallahu anhu was asked about the Prophet's character, she replied, "His manners were the Quran, which means that he practiced everything that he learned from the Quran." So I like to say at this point that the just knowing and not being able to apply is fruitless, because we have the requirement of what's in our heart and what we actually do. And so if the Quran doesn't touch our hearts and the hadith do not touch our hearts, then we won't be able to really implement it and act it out, and we won't really be able to benefit from it as we should. And so it's so important. I worked at an Islamic school here in South Florida, and I used to tell them all the time, we have to do dawah to the children. We have to, even though these children are born in al-Islam, we have to teach them as if they're not. And we have to convince them, just like we do a stranger, convince them that what's in the Quran and what practices we are obligated to do, we have to convince them that, give them some logical reason as to why we do what we do, and convince them that that's the best thing for them to do. I truly believe that's what we need to do for children. We can't just assume that, oh, you're born in Islam, we don't have to do all that for you. Oh, yes, you do, and more. You have to do more.
Yes. You know, Dr. Slaudine, I'm kind of chuckling a little bit here. You know, not that what you're saying is per se funny, but you really hit on something that's so vitally important. Believe it or not, this is the thinking of some parents, and this is the thinking of some people because when they were born, they were born to parents that were Muslims. And I'm not saying not practicing Muslims, but they think that that brings about an exemption. You know, I like the fact that when you say dawah, you know, this is another Islamic terminology here, you know. So Dr. Salahuddin, give us a simplistic definition of dawah, because, you know, we may have some people who are not Muslim or not believers in the Islamic way of life. What is dawah? When you said we may have to perform dawah on our children to get them to come around. So simply give a simple definition, simplistic definition that our listening audience, a non-Muslim, can walk away with, oh, now I understand what they're saying. And that makes good sense. Dr. Salahuddin?
Okay, so dawah is call or mission. It usually refers to calling others to follow Allah's way. Now, that's simple, but, you know, when you're going to do the dawah, you're going to have to actually explain everything. Explain even the word Allah. You have to explain what does that mean. And how do we come up with this word Allah? And then why do we not use God instead of, why do we use, you know, everybody else is using God. Why you English are using God, so why are you using Allah? And then we talk about our five pillars of Islam. Every pillar has to be explained. And then allow the person to ask questions when they don't understand something. And that's dawah. You're actually breaking it down. And you're inviting them to be a part of it, but you definitely have to break it down and explain every aspect to them in a simple manner, and then be able to re-explain it. I mean, be willing to re-explain it again, because sometimes it doesn't stick right away. So that's what we take how long.
Yeah, very excellent. And actually, in addition to that, you know, actually in being a good example. So while you're explaining, you are also exemplifying that. And so when they watch you, they see that you actually are a practitioner, because that's what it is that, you know, we want to influence them in terms of doing. We want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and Mark Shaheed. And you've heard a mouthful, I think, already tonight. And this is your time. Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we would like to invite you to press 1. If you have a question, or you might want to make a comment, add something to that, you know, in terms of, you know, a holistic life, approaching this life from different angles, different interests, different concerns that pertain to our young people, the communication that we have to have, as Dr. Salahuddin so eloquently articulated, in terms of dawah, which we extend the invitation, you know, to other people, we have to extend the invitation. We can't just assume or be presumptuous to think that our children, just because we are the parents of our children, that they will just follow us and love what we love. Like she said, just love God, love Allah like we love God. But then there should be a reason why we love Allah, why we love his messenger, why we love this way of life, how it gives the balance. You know, so when we say these things, we should be equipped and ready to back these things up and say to them, you know, you're going to serve something and somebody in this life. Who should that one be that you serve? So, you know, in engaging in dialogue, don't preach to your children. don't just demand that they do this and they do that. As they grow, you want their mind to grow. You want their intellect to grow. And, you know, it brings to mind what Dr. Patricia Slaudine was saying. One of my favorite ayats in the Quran is Surah 16, Ayat 78. Allah tells us that he's the one who brought you forth from the wombs of your mother when you knew nothing. You come out of darkness, you're in darkness, meaning ignorance, meaning that the innocent ignorance, that you just don't know. This is how God said you come into this realm of life. But then God says he gives you hearing and he gives you seeing and he gives you intelligence. And not only that, he gives you affection or sensitivity that you may give thanks. These are faculties that Allah is saying that he gives to us. Parents have to know and understand and realize that and make an appeal to those faculties that Allah said he has given to all human beings. So this is very important. So at this time, Rashid Salam, I guess he is there. Let's check and see if we have any hands up. We ask you raise your hand, press 1. If you got a question or comment, we come right to you. Rashid Salam, do you have any hands in the air?
No, Mark, we sure don't. Assalamu alaikum to both of you. No, we don't have any hands in the air, but I do have a question. As I was sitting here listening, you know, it was just amazing the mercy that's been bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you were talking, trying to reach our children, trying to set example for our children. But at the same time, how do we paint that picture to our children? And I looked at, you know, as I wasn't born, my children weren't born when I was a Muslim, but I go back and I have conversation with them. But telling the stories of birth, telling the stories of creation, telling the stories of Muhammad in the Quran, my daughter still may remember the conversation I had with her when I was reading the book and Prophet Muhammad went to a cave, you know, and I was thinking here about the importance of birth. Now, me and my granddaughter have this special relationship on birth. How did you get here, daughter? You know, you know, where you get your fingers from? Where you get your feet from? And you talk about an amazing conversation this child has with me, because she's intrigued by the pictures that I'm painting in her thought process. And I talk about the sun, and we go outside, and we talk about the trees and how the trees come about and how long it takes for those trees to grow. The science of this world, the science of just birth, the science of mathematics and so forth and so on really gives our children a picture, because guess what? A picture is like 1,000 words. So they carry that in their subconscious. They carry it in their memory. So what goes in got to come back out at some point in time. So what's the old saying? Teach a child while he's young, and he'll come back to it. But, you know, it's just so important that we just have to stop. You know what? We have to look in the mirror and say, am I pleased with my life? Am I pleased with my children? And then go back and just find out what went wrong. Not what's wrong with you, but something happened to us where we are off the path of righteous. We are off the path of doing the right things, and just have those conversations instead of trying to tell them something.
That's right.
Have a conversation about something that's meaningful to them, you know. So I just wanted to say that part, you know.
No, alhamdulillah, you know, Rashid Salam, and then I know Dr. Salahuddin would like to have something to say on that too. That's very important what you said, because in having that type of dialogue with your granddaughter, you may be stimulating, you may be activating the scientist, the future scientist, the future teacher, educator, the future engineer, just by or doctor, just by speaking about things that's in the creation, and especially the creation of the human being. You see, by pointing to the, how did you get that? You know, and speaking about the importance of the hands and the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth. You know, this is, we are part of God's creation. So that is stimulating. That is also revealing to them to be able to look at how the human body is constructed and how beautiful mm-hmm. it's constructed and everything.
Yeah.
And this piques an interest in them to want to explore and know more.
There
to explore and know more. Dr. Slaudine, yeah. You have anything you'd like to say? And we do invite our radio listeners. We do have a few minutes before the top of the hour, about 7-8 minutes, and we'd love to hear from you. So if anything you heard tonight really kind of caused your eyebrow to raise in terms of when we talk about parenting from an Islamic perspective and the methodology that we should use and tools that we have to display in terms of parenting skills, these are actually skills. You know, we talk about kill. We don't want our children to be killed. And I'm not speaking just on terms of just on a physical plane, but we don't want their desire, their curiosity, if you will, to be killed. We don't want the intellect to die early. I don't want to know. I'm not interested. I don't want to go to school. It ain't fun. It's dull. It's boring. We're going to take on topics like that in the very near future in terms of some of the things that we hear our children actually say and what it is that we can do to keep and prevent that type of mental attitude and disposition, consequently being reflected in their behavior. Dr. Slaudine, I know I can feel some vibes coming this way that you have something that you like to say, but maybe Rashid has said.
Well, actually, yes. Brother Rashid just reminded us all the beauty of being a grandparent and and having those interactions with our grandchildren and watching them respond to the things that you bring to their attention. And they're like little sponges. They soak it all up. And
yes,
it's such a beauty to have, to interact with your grandchildren and to bring creation to their attention and to share things with them. I have most of my grandchildren are young adults, but I do have a few that are young.
You might say how many grandchildren that you have, Dr. Solange?
I have a few.
Uh-oh, she's got to count, y'all.
So it's just a beauty and it's a blessing to be mm-hmm. able to have the interaction, to be close enough to your grandchildren to have the interaction and get to see them on a regular basis. So that's I'm so happy that you mentioned that, Brother Rashid, because it is such a blessing. Yeah.
I mean, love.
And you know something, I just think with Rashid Salam, it gave, you know, we can actually be better parents as grandparents.
That's right.
than we were when we were parents. Why? Because we weren't operating with this knowledge and insight and understanding that we are now getting. This is why it's so important. It's not because Dr. Patricia Slaudine and Mark Shaheed, we host this every Wednesday, and Rashid Salam, that we host this each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. It is so important to get to know what it is you don't know.
Right.
So that we can know better and our children can be better. I hope that makes good sense, that we can know better, that we can do better at parenting, having skills that prevents kill, and that our children can be better children, be better adults, be better citizens, and all of that. You know, we didn't have this type of knowledge, nor this information. And not having it, in some instances, it brought about a deformation. And so, you know, we've said here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it's easier to shape and form a child than it is to rebuild an adult.
Absolutely.
And so when we find that in that situation, that's really a job. Rashid Salam, we got somebody with their hands up. Please press one. We only have just a couple of few minutes. Or Rashid, you had something that you'd like to add
to? I'm just fine. You know, understanding is being able to listen, Mark. So I love listening.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that we have to really, as Dr. Slaudine so eloquently articulate, to have dialogue with our children. And especially, I think the Bashirs may have indicated that as our children get older, to have dialogue with them. Mm-hmm. Don't make it a monologue. Don't make it demanding so that the thing that you want them to embrace, they wind up hating. And the first opportunity they get when they feel as though they've been emancipated, I'm grown now, and I got a mind of my own. You can't tell me nothing, and I can spell nothing. You can't tell me nothing. And sometimes my children grow up with that mental attitude and disposition. So therefore, tarbiyah, which is an Islamic term, it has to be whereas that we respect the skills that we have as parents in terms of being educators, in terms of actually teaching. Education, the root meaning there is the cultivation, the stimulation, the activation for the application of living this life. That's a real skill, to be able to teach that, you know, at various ages. So we're right at the top of the hour. So Dr. Slaudine, going to give you the last minute. What would you like to leave the radio listening audience with this week? And I don't know if you know what the topic will be next week, but I know it's going to be an interesting one. Dr. Slaudine?
Yes. The topic next week is control your anger.
Whoa. Let's make sure we invite everybody.
Yeah.
Make sure we invite everybody. Oh, if I ask that question, have you ever become angry? And I think all hands would go up. If I could see, you know, everybody's hand go up, you know, we've done that. And, of course, we get instructions from the Quran, and we get also hadith, you know, saying, and following the Prophet Sunnah and what he actually gives on anger. So, you know, please come back next week. And Dr. Salahuddin, I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in this first hour to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Please let somebody else know if you're benefiting from it, your love for your brother and sister, what you love for yourself. I want to thank you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, as always, sharing your insight and wisdom with us every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month. And I want to thank my good brother, Rashid Salam, also for always chiming in and sharing his insight and wisdom here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And want to give you the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. And
wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. And we want to say to our radio listening audience, please stick and stay. Please don't stray away. The next production is the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And we have a double header tonight because we kind of got backed up a little bit with last week, the week before that. We were not able to be on, but we had a good time with Habibullah Salim, the language king, joined us last week. So we have a double hitter. So stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the calls. Rashid.
Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? God is with you all the way, strengthening your heart and soul, guiding your brother, from birth to death. Sometimes you never get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brother, to save your very, very soul. Control. It's a struggle, brother. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother. To come out of the cold, a struggle, brother.
Shahid, I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable, and we want to thank Rashid Salam for playing Imam Umar Siddiqui, my good brother and friend, who's an entertainer extraordinaire. And always, I like to always introduce our new production with God's name. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadow Ila Ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sahala alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems and knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was given, is indeed the seal of the prophets. He is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheen. I'm the host and facilitator of the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And would like to extend the greetings to our national and international audience. The greetings that only at a peace, but it's a greeting. But it's also a dua, the peace that only Allah can give. And becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And we want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable, where I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests from inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, also outside of the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as we have a double hitter. And in this first hour, we have back with us a good brother and friend who is the director of the DNA WDM Muslim Convention. And that simply stands for the Detroit Noble Annual WD Muhammad Muslim Convention that's held now annually. Each year during the Labor Day weekend, where it's a working convention in Inkster, Michigan. I'm really elated to have back my brother and friend who's the director. He's also the resident imam of the W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina. Hard-working brother, always my good brother and friend, Imam Munir Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum to you, brother imam. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah. It's good to hear your voice always, brother. I know you've probably been working. I hope the heat is not wherever you at, where you're already in Inkster or you still there in North Carolina. It's been hotter than a pepper here, brother. We've been 100 plus degrees.
Wow,
you know, that's hot. It was so hot the other day, I saw a dog chasing a cat, and they was both walking. That's pretty hot. So we got to have a little fun here. Remember that. But
yeah,
it's been hot. We had a heat index of about 110, 115, and hot and humid. Just the air that heavy and thick, you know. So we pray Allah that everybody is safe wherever they are and that they dress accordingly and do what they need to do, because there ain't nothing that we can start nor stop. Allah is in charge of all of it. Yes, so alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Brother Imam, and I wanted to have you back because, boy, I tell you, time passed so fast. We just ran about a week away from this being a manifestation of this year's 2023 DNA WD Muhammad Muslim Convention. And I think that there's some different features, some different things that have been added for those who will be attending. And that's why we got you back, to give us update information and all, and want to give you opportunity to say when we start, I mean, when does it start this year, and the different features, different things are being changed around a little bit, and a very distinct feature this year like no other year. Once again, welcome, Brother Imam Munir Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Say bismillahi rahman rahim. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We thank you, Brother Mark, again for giving us the opportunity to come on your show and to speak to your audience. And as you're saying, the convention, the DNA WDM Islamic Convention will be held in Inkster, Michigan, at our own Inkster Educational Center for Human Excellence facility. And it will be September 1st to September 4th. And our theme is building a community that's ordered by God. It's a mission. It's a mission. Join in the work to establish our life. So the theme itself, you know, encouraged by the life and the legacy of our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, building a community is ordered by God. It's a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Join in the work to establish our life. This is an invitation to all
mm-hmm.
the leaders to join in the work to establish our life. We have our own property. We have our own school. We have our own skating rink. We have 25 acres of a educational facility that is really like a small college, really. And, you know, we have 1,100 seat auditorium.
Yes.
We have a full regulation basketball court. An auditorium. We have an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
the tennis court, is the football field there too, Brother Iman?
Yes. There's a football field, there's a tennis courts, baseball field. for all those who have sacrificed their lives and supported the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and all mm-hmm. those great pioneer men and women who have come before us, for us to have what we have today,
mm-hmm.
It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in putting together this theme for this year, building
yes.
a community, is ordered by God. It's a mission. Joining the work to establish our life, this is an invitation, an open invitation.
Yes,
all
sir.
Those who are sincere and who want to join in the work to help us to continue to establish our life, our model of community life. And as you mentioned, I just came back from Eastern Michigan on a work detail
mm-hmm.
with carpenters, roofers, electricians,
mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters who just know how to help, for us to accomplish quite a bit of technical things that need to be done so that when the believers come back to the facility and that they will see some improvements and advancements than even what we had, what they've seen in the past. So,
yes, sir.
We home this week to take care of business and doctor's appointments and yada, 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 and then we'll be heading back on Tuesday, inshallah,
yes,
to continue preparing to receive the believers there at our facility in Eastern Michigan.
Yes, sir. Well, Imam Munir, this is what I really, really love. For me, as a pioneer in the community, having been in the community for 56 years, it takes me back to the days of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is one of the things that our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad, actually said to us. He says, "I never told you to leave any of the good that my father taught you and gave to you." And it was always, Brother Imam, as you know, I know that you weren't in the Nation of Islam, but I know you've heard a lot from pioneers and all that was in the Nation of Islam and what the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad was, that we must be ourselves, that we have to respect ourselves, love ourselves, stand up for ourselves, and do something for self and others. And so this is being exemplified. I'm just saying, I'm not just saying what I think. I'm saying what I know. This is about the fifth or sixth year that I'll be going there for the convention. I heard what our leader said. I was right there at the convention in Cobalt Hall. It was right there. I heard what Imam Muhammad said. I heard him on several occasions say what it is that he would like to see for us. And I just think that theme, it come from, our Imam in terms of what he articulated to us, Brother Imam. But, just to hear that theme and say what God has ordered. And I'm just going to ask you for just a couple of minutes. Give us the reference for that. So, people are hearing this, and not to say that you're trying to make something up, that we're trying to make something up, to build community life, Give us something, if you will, in terms of when we say that, there's a foundation for that. Brother Imam Munir?
Well, the main foundation is that, yes, our community, our leader has encouraged us to build model community life. He, and he gave us the ingredients
mm-hmm.
for it
mm-hmm.
being education being our number one priority.
Yes, yes.
Business establishment to
mm-hmm.
to be self-sufficient and not be tied into federal funding, you know,
mm-hmm.
so you can have prayer in school and you can have religion in school, you
mm-hmm.
know, and not have to adhere to rules and regulations or they snatch your funding away. So,
yes.
You know, business establishment, business enterprise should fund the education in our community.
Yes.
And at the same time, you're able to build your own culture, your own cultural
mm-hmm.
environment, your own cultural awareness. You can
mm-hmm.
your own
mm-hmm.
likes and dislikes, you know.
Yes.
And then to in the spirit of do for self, you are now able to take care of your health because you're producing your own products, your own vegetation, your own fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now in order to maintain it all, you have to be a part of good government. You know?
Yes.
So
yes.
So the Imam gave us these five areas of concern. That
mm-hmm.
you know, and building model community life
mm-hmm.
that's ordered by God, then
mm-hmm.
these five essential areas are important for establishing that life and maintaining that life. And so this is where the foundation has come
mm-hmm.
from the committee deciding to go with this theme. And we
mm-hmm.
know that, and God reminds us very specifically in the Holy Quran, where it says,
mm-hmm.
and you are the best community
yes.
of all.
Come on
for
now.
The good of all people. You know?
I was waiting to hear that, brother Imam. I was waiting to hear it. I got a big smile on my face. This is God's order. And you know, brother
yes,
Imam, you can say something to this, and then we'll shift gears here. But we're trying to replicate what Imam Muhammad said there in Detroit in 2008. He said to us, and study the Sirah of the Prophet and study Medina Munawwara. Study that. The city of enlightenment. You know, this is a manifestation of just what you just said from the Quran. And Allah's Rasul, his messenger, he established that. He established that. And not only for us, but community outreach. Community outreach. We are teaching, it's a da'wah effort at the same time. But there's others benefiting, just like you was talking about the State of the Art skating rink. I've seen it. It's beautiful. But that's not only for Muslims. It's not only for Muslims. It's open to the whole of the community, you see? And so this is very, very, very important. The gymnasium, since I've been coming, it's not only Muslims that come into that gymnasium. Of course, there's rules and regulations. But everybody got to follow rules and regulations in all. And all the discipline that you see that should be prevalent in human society in all. So we're actually following we're following Allah's instruction, but we're following also his Rasul, his messenger, and what he exemplified and what he established. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. No, the prophet said, Karakum and Yafa Anas. That's
mm-hmm.
translated the most excellent of you, the most outstanding of you, the most useful of you
mm-hmm.
are those who serve the human public.
Come on now.
So as our leader, following in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, he tells
mm-hmm.
us to build model community life, establish community centers. You know, not just to serve our needs, but to serve the needs of the human public.
That's
and
right.
So, as you said, one of the major changes that we did, because on Friday we would have our private skate party for us to enjoy the festivities amongst ourselves, and listening to wholesome and positive music while we skate and some dance on the sideline and enjoy and take take it all in, you know. And I won't say nothing about the moves that I've seen you make, but we'll talk about that later. And in respect to what the prophet said, that the most excellent of you are those who not only serve their own people, their own community, but those
That's
who
right.
serve the human public, we changed the schedule so that on Friday evening we'll have our evening of elegance, our formal dinner in either our cafeteria or in our remodeled library in the facility. And then on Saturday we will go skating with the general public.
Allahu Akbar. You know, I was just getting ready to get into, you know, to that and everything. Want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Gold Message Roundtable. It's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we have here in the first hour, brother, one of my very learned imams. He teaches the Quranic Arabia. I've heard him, excellent teacher. And he's the director of the DNA W.D. Muhammad Muslim Convention, and a big change made last year. And so we want you to make sure you start to imprinting that into your mind. It is the Detroit Noble Annual W.D. Muhammad Muslim Convention. So, you know, always evolving, always updating and everything. So if you have a question or you have a comment, don't wait till the last minute. You got a question or comment, don't hesitate. Don't deliberate or procrastinate. Press 1 while we have Imam Munir Muhammad on, and you can ask him a question on your own. Before we go into giving you an opportunity, we're going to take a pause for the calls, but before we do that, you know, when we come back after this pause for the calls, I'm going to give you an opportunity to run down the whole schedule, you know, just give a thumbnail sketch of what those who may be on the fence, driving the fence, do I, don't I? You know, there's so many reasons why you should, so you don't need to be getting it secondhand. We need to come out of being secondhand and experience things for ourselves. That should be exciting, just what Imam Munir has already said. This is ours. You know, it's something about you're doing something where you can say, this is ours. And he didn't say this, but I'm going to say it. It's all paid for, y'all. You know, so you should be excited to want to see this for yourself. It's going to be an inspiration, a motivation for you, you know, to want to do more or to make contributions. You know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said there's never a time in the believer's life that they can't give sadaqah if it's no more than just a smile in terms of the approval. You need to come for yourself and see for yourself. You know, ask you to believe me or even believe Imam Munir Muhammad. Come for yourself and be a witness. Be a... Go ahead. We're going to take a pause for the call. We'll be right back.
Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. He showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is no I wouldn't do. He's there. Every situation, he's there. Nation after nation, he's there. With the imams of our mission, he's there. To change the world's condition, Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. Showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is nothing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. He's there. In bad situations, he's there. Helping me be patient. He's there. When I need someone to talk to, he's there. With tender loving care, Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. Showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true.
And we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that you hear each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And we have at the MGM Roundtable a very distinguished, esteemed guest, the director of the DNAWD Muhammad Muslim Convention 2023 to be held in Inkster, Michigan. And that's going to be during Labor Day weekend. And it's going to start September the 1st and go all the way to the 4th. And you definitely want to be there. I want to thank Rashid Salam, you know, once again for excellent selection from my very distinguished, I would say, entertainer extraordinaire, that's Imam Umar Siddiqui. And for those of you who don't know, I know that Imam Munir Muhammad, know about 4 or 5 years ago, he was entertaining at the DNA, a Muslim convention. Brother Imam, I know you remember that. He really performed very well, and the wholesome music that he gave to the listening audience is always, always a pleasure to hear him. I mean, his music is so substantive, and it reflects much of the principles and values that we have as Muslims and all. So we're going to invite radio listening audience, if you have a question or comment, please press 1 so you can ask your question or make a comment on anything that our special guest, honored guest, Imam Munir Muhammad may say, or you may just have a question about the convention or something that I haven't asked, or maybe he maybe inadvertently don't say that you want to know. This is your opportunity to do that. So, Brother Imam, start us off and take us on through what can we expect coming to this year's 2023 DNAWD Muhammad Muslim Convention. And I know, like, you were beginning to tell us that you're making a few changes and doing something a little bit different than previous years. Brother Imam.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are excited, man. We have on Friday, of course, we kick off with our Jumu'ah, Jumu'ah. And then afterwards, we have our youth who will be presenting a, as they've done in the past, they presented the educational, CMS educational panel with all the young people who attend the summer camp.
Okay.
This year, they are planning to actually do a Claire Muhammad School summer camp presentation skit / play.
Ooh, okay.
You know,
now you got me so excited.
So as our leader said, you know, education is the number one priority.
Yes, sir.
We begin the schedule of events off with the Salatul Jumu'ah, giving our praise to Allah and reminding ourselves of the community responsibilities. And then our young people will honor us by presenting on Claire Muhammad School Summer Camp, as I said, presentation / skit / play.
Ooh. Let me ask you this, Brother Imam, before you go a little bit further, is while they were in summer camp, and, you know, you can say a little something more about summer camp if you choose to do so, because I was so very impressed last year when our young Muslim brothers and sisters, when they talked about what they did in summer camp and where that summer camp actually is. Let me end on this here. What, have they been doing a little rehearsing of this kid? And did this idea come from them? From the okay.
Yes.
All right.
Now this is you know, we had summer Clair Muhammad School summer camp, which is located in Randolph, Virginia, on another one of our properties, 133 acres of land. And then there's even progress being made there where, you know, my son-in-law, he's getting ready to get his doctorate degree in horticulture and health science and all that. And he's planted some watermelons and cauliflower and some
and
other
these
stuff.
Watermelons going to have seeds in them, right?
Oh, yeah, this is the real deal. So he's done that, and then across the street where we have on one side is where the administration building is and the dormitories, which is roughly about 70 acres of land, and then across the street is like 63 acres of land where we just had the landscaper. Excavator really clear that road out that leads all the way down to the Starting River. So our students and campers next year will be able to get throw out fishing rods, and if they choose to jump into the river and, you know, and swim in the river, they ain't got to go to the pool, you know. So we're excited about that, you know. So we have a special presentation that we plan to show a visual for those who never saw the property and saw the camp. We're going to show some of that with the young people's presentation. So when Brother Mark was referring to the camp, this is the idea to do the skit / play at the convention was the idea of the young people who attended the camp, and we've had a changing of the guard this year where camp age is usually 8 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
We had several campers who graduated, really. They went from 8 years old all the way to 14, and then they became junior counselors.
Oh, okay.
And so we provided.
They have become like a alumni, for the lack of a better word, and so now they're doing some teaching and training themselves.
Oh yeah, they became junior counselors, working alongside all of the counselors and ourselves, and they came up with the idea because all of them were present last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to improve on their presentation as a group. And so they came up with the idea to do a skit at the convention for the believers.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's exciting to actually hear. And you know, Brother Imam, you know, we should really, really always be excited about our young people, our youth, and soon to be young adults. And then have, you know, I always say this, and it could possibly be on a T-shirt, you know, for our young people to evolve, they have to be involved, you know. I mean, and this here, I mean, you can take that nationally. I mean, for them to evolve, they have to be involved. And you all do a great job in terms of doing that. Mm-hmm. And just to hear the expression last year, they had smiles on their face. They loved it. So if we have time, we'll come back to that and some of the things that actually happened in this summer camp, because it's balanced. I mean, they have fun, but they learn things. And
Yes, indeed.
They have to make their prayers and all of that, but it's balanced. But that's what we want. We want our we should want the balanced life. That's what Al-Islam teaches. It teaches the balance, and we should want our children to have a balanced life, and they need to begin to start experiencing it right now as children, and then loving it, being attracted to this way of life, so they never, never, never want to leave this way of life. I'm sorry, Brother Man, but continue on, and if we have time, we'll come back to that. You can maybe just give a few features of some of the things that happen in the summer camp, because, hey, you want to always expand. Maybe you want mm-hmm. to make sure your child is sent there or your grandchild is sent there at summer camp. Brother Man?
Yes, sir. So as we said, you know, that's going to be exciting for the youth to make that mm-hmm. presentation. And one of the volunteer instructors, Dr. Leonard Blygen Sr.,
mm-hmm.
he does a program called PASS, providing mm-hmm. assistance for student success,
mm-hmm.
and he will follow them up with making this presentation. Which is inclusive for parents or guardians who are working
mm-hmm.
with the young people. We're excited about that. So, and then as we stated that we will have our formal buffet dinner and fashion show / live entertainment by the Men in Black band who was local. They're from Detroit. We've always had Tariq and soulful musicians, but he had surgery on his I think his hips or knees or something.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. We pray for him speedy recovery, and
mm-hmm.
he was very generous to sponsor the band coming from right there in Detroit that will join us. And like I said, they have played for us in the past, and they are very excellent. Excellent band. So we look forward to all that on Friday.
And then
Saturday.
Just, I know you said it, but for those who really don't know and never have been, it's almost like a shifting. What we generally would have been given on Saturday night, we'll be getting that, the big buffet dinner and everything. Food is outstanding. Those sisters, they know how to burn. Y'all know what burn means. Not burn it up. You know, we got our own language now. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They know how to burn. It's a labor of love. You can actually taste it in the food. Muslimas cooking, and those sisters mm-hmm. know how to cook. You know, if you know how your mother used to cook back in the day, make you want to take your shoes off so your toes can curl.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that food tastes. It's just that good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brother Imam, you know, so that's a different feature as that's going to be done. And it's going to be a fashion show, and everything. So you want to get ready for that. The entertainment is going to be outstanding always.
You know,
it make you want to get up out of your seat and get on your feet and make
mm-hmm.
you want to dance to the beat. You know, I love
yes,
to dance.
Yes.
You know, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's how good the music is. Continue, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. So then we move into Saturday, and we have our workshops. This year we have, in addition to what we shared already, we have an academic and sports panel. Like three
Ooh.
Generations, four generations of
academic and said again, an academic and sports panel.
Yes, academic
oh,
and
wow.
sports panel. Dope persons who have achieved academically as well as sports wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a presentation on the culture of college sports from a college coach.
Okay.
And then we have business presentation, Muhammad the Prophet, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the business of Al-Islam and the role of government.
Allahu Akbar. I like that. I'm liking the topics. They're
mm-hmm.
just intriguing, not knowing
mm-hmm.
What's going to be presented and how it's going to be presented, but I know it's going
mm-hmm.
to be substantive, buddy man.
Yes. Then we have, again, as I mentioned, Dr. Blodgen. We have providing assistance for student success. And then we have preparing for 333 this coming season. COVID.
Preparing for what?
Preparing for 333.
333, okay. Number,
this is this coming season.
Oh, okay.
COVID, flu, and RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus.
Okay, okay. So that's going to be a presentation that's going to be made also at one of the workshops, preparing for triple.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's Dr. Ansari and her associate, Dr. Kenyatta Davis.
Okay.
And then we have a youth STEM project, building your own cell phone with Brother Bashir Ansari. He's always done some STEM project with the young people. And they usually make a presentation to us on Sunday.
Oh, okay. So that'll happen Sunday, not Saturday, but building your own.
No, that's Saturday. That's Saturday.
That's
all Saturday.
Okay.
They usually make their presentation on Sunday, which we have Sunday. We usually have, weather permitting, we usually have a little walk, a group tour walking, but we'll probably, with the heat, we'll probably be transporting and taking the believers to the different venues that we have where we had our commemorative Savior's Day observance program at the banquet hall, which has been completely renovated and updated, and you just have to see it with your own eyes. And upstairs is the office of where Malcolm Hajj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, where his office was actually upstairs.
That's right. And that's actually after he was released from prison. He came
correct.
England, yes. And so that has been renovated, you tell me?
Yes, sir. It has been
completely
renovated and updated, and you have to see it for yourself. I have to let you walk in and see it for yourself. That's where we hosted the commemorative Savior's Day observance program.
Oh, wow.
We had it at the banquet hall this year. We've had it at the school. We've had it at the skating rink. And then this year we had it at the banquet hall.
Wow. Now, that's a tremendous, improvement that's there, because I've been going for a few years now when there was nothing. It just purchased the property, but no renovation. And so now, look what Imam Munir Muhammad is saying in terms of what happened this year at the annual Savior's Day there in Inkster. So please continue, Brother Imam.
And then after, in between, we have our grill cookout. Brothers be grilling those beef ribs, delicious beef ribs.
It's gonna be ribs this year. You're gonna have some ribs on the grill.
Okay. We had beef ribs last year. Along with the other, your turkey burgers and your burgers and your hot dogs
and corn
on the cob, coleslaw, homemade coleslaw, all that. We have the cookout there. And as you mentioned, in the gymnasium, because we have recreational and family activities, so we have multiple things going on at the same time, so that our children stay engaged, and that with activity as well as you mentioned, learning as well, not just play. And then one of the other things, inviting the community of people or believers in. Of other faiths, we have a community basketball game where we invite the local young men to come in and play basketball against some of the believers, and so that game goes on. Then later on, move into the later in the evening, as you mentioned, the change. We still have a buffet dinner, but then we leave the school facility, and we go to Middle Belt Road. We go to the skating rink.
Because
the skating rink is open to the public.
It's open to the public.
So, you know,
yeah,
so,
that's going to be on Saturday night this year. Those of you who have been before, it's going to be a switch. That generally would happen on Friday night. This year it's going to be Saturday night. It's open to the public. It's designed, you understand, to intermingle, to interact with the public there at that beautiful, beautiful skating rink. It's really a state-of-the-art skating rink. I kid you not. And good music, and you get out there and have some fun. And if you can't skate, the music be so good you just can dance on the sideline like I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So then that leads us into Sunday. Like I said, we usually do a little walk and try to show the facilities to everyone. Also, not just to show the facilities, but to, as we encouraging and inviting the believers to join us in the building of our life, we also offer business opportunities for believers who may want to invest in some of the business opportunities that we have. So seeing the facility, seeing the different facilities, you know, you may have ideas, you may have family members who can rent out the banquet hall, or just a lot of real networking and a lot of real opportunities.
Absolutely.
And then we usually have lunch at the facility, and then we have a short presentation, a public presentation and awards, where we give out the DNA Pioneer Spirit Awards. We usually select people from different cities or states that committee members recommend, and we give that out. And then, as I mentioned, we tend to we have the young people, whatever STEM project that they have worked on, usually make that presentation to the community of believers on Sunday. And we usually in early, which, you know, that's usually between 1:30 and 3:30. And then we have one of the main big features that we added this year, which we have done in the past, but this has been like maybe a 5 or 6, wait a minute, well, it's been about 7 or 8 year hiatus. We have the Motown Dinner Cruise on the Detroit.
That's a new feature this year, right, Brother Matt?
Yeah. Yes, sir. And theme music that they want. The buffet dinner, seafood and a seafood buffet dinner. And we call it the Sunset Cruise, because by the time we get out there and get back in, we will have seen the sunset on the beautiful, Lake Michigan or Ontario River, whichever one it is.
Yes.
you know
it's one of them.
Yeah, I know they go into each other.
Yeah.
And then that will conclude the activities for those. And then Monday, we usually have fellowship tours. We usually do something collective, really a treat for those brothers and sisters who stay around, and the reward for all the labor that we've done. We tend to take them, take the believers to some type of tour, so that we enjoy each other and without having to do any work.
So it is a day off for those hardworking believers. And just want to say to our radio listening audience, Imam Manir didn't say it, but he's a worker. Imam Ezekiel Pasha is a worker. They have a working staff, and Imam Manir leads the way periodically throughout the year. They go there for maybe 2, maybe 3 week stints throughout the year, and they take a crew there, and I know they have to have some type of an agenda where what they want to accomplish in the time that they're there, and perhaps over the years there are other people have come on board that have a skilled craftsman, and you always, when you're doing a renovation in certain areas there, you always need some skilled craftsmen, but you need some laborers. You need some laborers, too. You know, it's just like any construction site you go on. You have skilled craftsmen. You have laborers. You have those persons say, hey, just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll mm-hmm. just do whatever you tell me to do. And this makes it, you know, for the improvements that Brother Imam is saying that you will see if you've been there. But if you haven't been there, you're going to be in for the surprise of your life. And it's something special, very special, about being in a place that is yours, that you can call yours. You know, I'm Elijah Muhammad. You know, had a supermarket there in Chicago for those who've been around in the Nation of Islam. And what did he name that supermarket? Yours. Yours supermarket. You know, words make people. It make you feel special when you can say something is yours. So, Brother Imam, we're going to see. I'm going to go to Rashid Salam here as we get time. It's kind of winding down here. If you have any questions, any comments that you'd like to make, you might want to ask Imam Munir any question or make a comment. I think that what he's given should wet your whistle, so to speak. You're a great appetizer for you. You know, there's still room, there's still space, and you can still get registered. You can actually get registered the day that you come. I would say the pricing is so very reasonable. It's unbelievable. And what it is that they charge for registration, and he didn't mention that each day, you know, there's going, if you're there for the whole of the day, you're going to get lunch. You can, that's all included. You can get a good package deal where you're going to eat lunch, and you won't even have to go back to the hotel. You can just stay there and just enjoy the camaraderie with the believers. And that's a special thing, a special moment, the opportunity to see somebody you haven't seen in a while. They're like my good friend, Rafi Muhammad. We had a ball last year. Just talking about back when and now and what it is we're doing. I pray Allah that he's doing well. And inshallah, we'll see him this year at this year's 2023 DNA W.D. Muhammad Muslim Convention. So, Rashid Salam, do we have any hands up? And those who are listening by way of the internet, you can. We got a few minutes here, about five more minutes here. You have to dial into the studio 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. Press 1 if you have a question or comment. Rashid Salam, I know you're clearing your throat. That means you want to say something.
First of all, I know you want to give
Brother Imam the greens or something.
That's right. I just have to give the greens, Brother Imam. I said, "Assalamu alaikum." The pleasure to hear you again. And I'm trying to get my schedule together. I just cannot believe that I may miss this, and I'm working on it. I'm trying to tell you, but I mean, you just got my appetite really tight, man. I just want to get there so bad. And my sister's in Detroit, too. I've been promising I was going to get there. So, alhamdulillah, we keep working on it, but I'm excited, and I'm sharing with many people as I possibly can. But I look forward to it. Just want, it's a blessing, it's a mercy for you guys to be in this situation. And the whole country don't know as much as they should know about what you're doing. And I was asking Mark not too long ago, well, how can we have done time to be grateful there?
That's open recommendation.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
This is what Imam Muhammad has said. You know, I know personally, I heard it come out of his mouth. Blessed to be around him the last 5 or 6 years. Part of the what you call national security team, and Imam Muhammad changed that. Of course, he changes it. You know, something that wouldn't identify us as security, you know, in that regard. But he often would emphasize the importance of actually having your own. And he actually asked Imam Ezekiel Pasha that if he would do that, And Imam Ezekiel Pasha said that he would do that. The Imam was very, very knowledgeable of the resources and resourceful people that he had in the community that he knew he could count on. You know, he knew that. And those of us We know that too. We know that too. So
you have a hand raised. You have another hand.
We got a hand raised. Okay, so we ready at the end here. Okay, so
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, brother man.
Yeah, I was gonna say invite your sister to the convention and she'll be my guest.
I'm in love. I'm working to get there myself.
Inshallah. Yes, sir.
That'd be a good experience for her.
Yeah. So we have 810-399. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I think I know that person.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to Mark Shaheed, and to your very distinguished guest, Imam Munir Muhammad. Yeah. This is into the IWDM family. This is the priest of Hadi, Abdul Hadi. Thank you. Calling from Flint, Michigan. I'm so excited. How many years is this now?
This is 14.
Oh, my God. No way. Mark, you telling
14.
Me you've been going for ever since they was open.
Whenever the last few years, 5 or 6 years, when Imam Muhammad, of course, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been to Detroit, because one year we went about 7 or 8 months in a row. Imam Muhammad wanted to reestablish Detroit. As we know, this is his birthplace, not Detroit City proper, but he loved Detroit. I mean, he loved Michigan where he was born, and he wanted to unite unity. And also, he gave his last convention at Cobo Hall and all. And so I think it was a year or so after that, contract was finished. And it just kind of, you know, like a pregnant woman, it was time to deliver. It was time to deliver what Imam Muhammad wanted, you know, for his community to have. And praise be to Allah, that opportunity came along. And, you know, brothers like Imam Ezekiel Pasha and others, and Imam Munir Muhammad and others were able to help to bring that desire to Imam Muhammad to fruition. And we're so thankful and grateful, you know, for that, to have your own. You know, back in the day, Brother Imam, people would just flock to something that we say having our own. That would be just such an attraction. No, we have this. This is our own. This is a special, special time. We're right at the top of the hour, Brother Imam, and I do want to give you an opportunity with any parting remarks that you would like to make. Please make sure that you give the information in terms of even the website that they could go to, or what or can they register, even if they haven't registered. I know they can register when they get that. Brother Imam? Got 1 minute.
Yes. Well, the website is www.dnamuslimconvention.com. www.dnamuslimconvention.com. And as you said, that the pre-registration is closed, but on-site registration will be on Friday before Jumu'ah, or right after Jumu'ah, I believe. So we invite you all to come, and those who can't physically come, we invite you to join us virtually, and we will be taking precautions as we always. We usually have everything outside, and then certain things that we have inside, we will have, you know, temperatures checked and mask on, you know. So we've always taken safety and the believers' safety as the number one priority every time we all get together. So we are excited, and we pray that you all will join us. And invite your family, friends, and associates. I have several Christian associates and friends who are coming to join us, flying in and riding in with us this year. So we're excited for them to experience what we got going on.
Alhamdulillah. And that means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. Want to thank you, my good brother and friend, Imam Munir Muhammad. And we almost there, so be looking forward to seeing you and the believers there. Please extend the greetings of peace to your family and to the believers there, inshallah. Let's see, we'll be coming in, inshallah, Thursday. We'll get there a little early. Looking forward to seeing you. Thank you so much. for accepting my invitation.
It's my pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, brother, man.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. So there you have it, the first hour here on the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. A very distinguished, esteemed imam, the director of the DNA, W.D. Muhammad Muslim Convention. That has been changed to the Detroit Noble Annual W.D. Muhammad Muslim Convention 2023. They're in Inkston, Michigan. So you still got time to register. So be there. Don't be square, as they say. As we get ready to take another pause for the calls, we got a double header here on the MGM Roundtable. When we come back, we're going to have some representatives from this year's 2023. Time to be grateful. It's going to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. So I'm going to ask you, as always, to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the cause.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? Out of all, you're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's
face. Yes, and we're back, and one of my favorite songs by entertainer extraordinaire Imam Umar Siddiqui, covered all over. Thank you, Rasheed Salam.
Amen.
I know it's one of his favorite too. So in the second half of the MGM Roundtable, we have as our very distinguished, esteemed guest, representatives from this year's 2023, Time to Be Grateful, to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. We are happy to have our sister Marcia Nivens, and she is the committee chair for the workshops, and she has other hats on her head in terms of being a liaison for the youth and the young adults, and also for the vending. We probably get the vending out of the way first, so she probably have less to say about that. It's a little inside joke here. And then we have Mujahideen Muhammad, and he is the vice president. He's the vice president of the board of directors for the Muslim Journal, which I just said is Newark, New Jersey, is the new home for the Muslim Journal. We had the president of the board of directors for the Muslim Journal board of directors last week, and Imam Abdul Kareem Muhammad. We have the vice president with us, and he has multiple hats on his head in terms of performing public relations, in addition to the prayer, in addition to the audio visual, and something else I think I'm leaving out in regards to what it is that he actually will be doing. But this is a hardworking staff. They've made tremendous progress already, and I'm elated and honored to have them to join me here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to both of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. And want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I know this is your first time on with me, but very excited about having you on. Very excited about this year's 2023. Time to be grateful. This is, as my good friend, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, the editor, said, she's calling it the 19th one, but actually, it's the 20th, and I think to put that asterisk by 2021, which was done virtual. It was the only one that's done virtual. So I guess if we keep in score, we have to count that one. But it was virtual, and it was very successful. It was held in the Jewel of the South. That is Atlanta, Georgia, as you well know. So we want to get – I'd like to maximize the minimum, and the minimum is always time, but – I want to give you first, Sister Marcia, opportunity. Take a couple of minutes and just, I know the people that's listening, some of them know you, know your hard work and what it is that you've been doing and how you have been a contributor in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Take about 2 minutes and just introduce yourself to our radio listening audience, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Again, assalamu alaikum, everyone. I'm so happy to be with you this evening. My name is Marcia Nivens. And, you know, when you get to this point of, like, introducing yourself, you're always like, how am I going to describe myself this time, right? And so one of the first things I usually say is that I am a mom of three, because that's such a big part of my life. But I am from Jersey City, New Jersey, born and raised. I actually converted to Islam back in 2008. I have been connected to the community probably since about 2004, and then ultimately took Shahada in 2008. And I fell right in place. I mean, this community is one full of love, and everyone is committed and hardworking, and I had come from that experience already, so it was just very natural for me. I am a member of Masjid Muhammad in Newark, New Jersey. I am also one of the co-hosts for the New Freedom Exchange show, which is a podcast that comes on Facebook and YouTube. And I have my co-host here with me tonight, Mujahideen, who will introduce himself. And I am working on the 2023 Muslim Journal, The Time to Be Grateful, with many Kimars, brother. I don't have on hat. I have on Kimars.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You know, I thought about that afterwards, Kimar. Yeah, I know on the East Coast there, you know, I'm very much aware. A little bit different on the East Coast. Yes, other parts of the country, you know, talk about hijab, but many of the sisters on the East Coast, I'm wearing my kimar. And that actually, you know, is actually closer in terms of the description of the Muslima's dress. So thank you so much. She's got multiple kimars.
Yes.
And she's wearing them very well. So we're going to go to our brother Mujahideen Muhammad. Oh, man, you know, I didn't even know he was even in the same class, you know, with me and everything. That just goes to just show you that we have a big community, but it is still a small community. And I want to just say to you, Brother Muhammad, congratulations, you know, for getting that position, Vice President of the Board of Directors for the Muslim Journal, the new home there in Newark, New Jersey, and welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you again. So Mujahideen Muhammad, actually born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, and given that name at birth, which represents not just myself, but also our community struggle, our community's continued struggle for, mm-hmm. for in the freedom movement here in America. And so I'm also, as Sister Marcia has mentioned, a co-host of New Freedom Exchange Show, which actually, maybe your listeners may not know, but we actually started here on IWGM station, Blog Talk. We actually started here back in 2020, and then we transitioned to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and now we have our own New Freedom Network. So we'll always reverence the womb that bore us, even on that note, right? And so, yes, honored to be a part of the new board of directors. It was Sister Aisha Kay who reached out to us, to myself, in regards of that position. And one of the things she said in confidence was that you have to be willing to be strong and be your authentic self. And so that's kind of comfortable for us because of our name and, you know, having that burden on us. We've kind of grown into that. And so we're honored to continue the legacy of the 60-plus year independent newspaper as we go forward. And also, as you mentioned, we are also on the planning committee for the A Time to Be Grateful banquet weekend, and now it's actually a conference. And so I'm happy to be here with you. Alhamdulillah,
and I'm happy to have you. I'm going to stay right here with you, Dean Muhammad, in terms of what it is that you do. I know you was instrumental last year when we had it there in D.C., the nation's mosque hosting there in terms of the audiovisual. And, you know, a lot of times people don't really, so to speak, you know, pay much attention to that. But when you have these type of entities, very, very important. Talk to us a little bit about what it is that you do and you're responsible for one of those hats. You know, of course, I talked to Marcia, I got to remember to say Kamar. And this is one of those hats that you wear, Brother Dean Muhammad. If you would, talk to us a little bit about that and what it is that you actually do, because that's so very, very important.
Yes, sir. So I might wear a kufi here and there, but I do.
Oh, you asked. All right.
We might come up with the kufi and kimar show.
Or I didn't know some brothers like to wear kufi, some wear fezes, and some don't wear anything, you know. So, you know, here you have to put some on your heads. It's so hot here, you know. So, please.
So last year, actually our team, New Freedom Network team, we had the honor to work in with Imam Talib and his team down there in D.C., and we did get to live stream. Those who were there in person had a sold-out crowd, but there was quite a few who couldn't make it that were viewing live stream. We had the pleasure of doing the Juma and the I think we did. We did the culture night. We did the banquet, mm-hmm. and the luncheon, and some of the workshops. And so the audio visual is just the eyes and the ears of the event, you know, what preserves this beautiful experience that we have for future generations, right? The benefit of audio video in our community is unprecedented among Muslims in America. We have the most recorded video and audio community in America, just facts right there. Our leader from Anwar Muhammad to Imam Muhammad, over 70 years of documented history of audio and visual. So we don't take that for granted. It's still a learning curve for us because initially that wasn't our intent going into this field, but Allah has given us a good grade of help to be support to the Muslim Journal and a way to transition the next generation. We also have in the future, on another note, with the Muslim Journal, is to incorporate training for young people in audio and visual in relation to journalism, photojournalism, and video journalism. So it's a great task that we're taking on, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. That's excellent. And I also mentioned, you know, last month when we had the president of the Board of Directors for the Muslim Journal saying this to you also, that we do have some space on here, and I would love maybe some young aspiring person like to get into radio and can learn about engineering and actually even hosting a production. On the Muslim Journal right here on IWDM Radio, be willing to take some time and work with them in terms of hosting. And we got Rashid. He's an engineer extraordinaire. I'm volunteering him. No, he would do it to help in terms of that so that Muslim Journal could actually have airtime here on IWDM Radio. How about that? So think about that. And we go into our sister Marsha.
Real quick before you transition, we do have it is a committee. So while I am the chair of that committee, anyone who's interested in being a part of that, you are welcome to send your contact information to 2023attbg@gmail.com. That's 2023attbg@gmail.com. Thank you.
Yes, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. And then, you know, if you find some young people or young adults that want to have the opportunity to do that. We have some airspace here. We can make that a reality as we continue to grow. Marsha, I want to come to you, and I want to get the quickest thing out of the way. one of the Kimars that you have on your head. I know you're probably glad that's over and done with. And I know that people always. I don't know. We have to be probably the most vending community in the continental United States, the African Americans. the question is going to be asked, or somebody's thinking it. So let's go ahead and answer that first, as that's one of the Kimars that you had on your head in terms of being over the vending. Are there any vending tables or booths, how we classify? Is there any left for those Johnny Come Latelys that wants to sell items, books, or whatever?
Listen, brother, Johnny Come Lately done missed the boat. We sold out.
They missed the boat.
They missed the boat, brother.
They got to wait all the way till next year then. I'm thinking the boat going to sail again or the train is going.
You got to be quick on the draw.
Like quick draw McGraw. Okay. So we got that out of the way, y'all. So you're listening out there. If you have something that you want to sell, you won't be able to sell it this year, 2023, in Newark, New Jersey. All the booths, the tables, they're gone. It's over with. Done.
Yes.
Okay. So we can get that out of the way right away. So now I want to talk to you in terms of what you are the chair of, and this is very, very important, as I have watched and observed the growth and the development of the Time to Be Grateful each and every year. I remember when Time to Be Grateful didn't have the type of communication in terms of workshops and all of this, and Professor Aisha, you know, she's a walking historian as far as I'm concerned, and it has grown tremendously in the addendums that have come each and every year in terms of what the Time to Be Grateful offers in terms of information and education. And I think the theme, Marsha, you know, actually is an indication of that in terms of words make people, and I didn't ask Dean Muhammad this, but you can answer it in terms of looking at this year's theme. First, say something to that, and then I'd like for you to take a few minutes to talk about what you will be chairing, what you are actually chairing, and what has been already formed in terms of workshops. It's a little different than it has been before in the past. Welcome again.
Absolutely. Yep. And so I'm actually going to start with the purpose of a time to be grateful, right? Because sometimes what happens with people is that we do something for so long that we kind of forget why we're doing it. We're just used to coming together. So I wanted to be able to highlight the actual purpose of a time to be grateful. And it is the annual fundraiser of the Muslim Journal that is designed to raise awareness about the publication, to increase its subscriptions, advertisements, and to increase those distributors. And we do that through events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, right? So I just want to kind of remind us why we do this each year, right? And then we'll go on into the theme, right? Words make people, enhancing literacy and culture for future generations. And so, as you mentioned, I am the chairperson for the workshops. The structure that we have this year is that there's a core team that serve as liaisons for all of the committees, and each of us on the core team also have a committee that we chair, but then we have some other chair people for the other committees that we are the liaison for. I happen to be the liaison for workshops, for vending, for young adults, and for youth, but I chair the workshop committee, and we have some exciting workshops coming this year, for this year's A Time to Be Grateful. And they're all centered around literacy in some area. So sometimes we think about literacy and we think about like reading and writing, right? You think about the Muslim Journal, a paper, reading it, right? But literacy is also like being informed about something, right? So our workshops will be centered around gaining cultural literacy, economic literacy, civic literacy, literacy around Islamic education, mental health literacy, physical health literacy, and a whole host of different types of literacy, right? Because it's not just the reading and writing of it all when we think about literacy. It's also being abreast of what is happening in these different areas of our lives that make the whole of our life, right? How do we function at optimal status with knowing these various things and ultimately striving for excellence in those areas? So I'm excited for these workshops. Our goal this year is to have, with these workshops, intergenerational panels. As much as possible throughout this workshop series for the weekend. A lot of times we talk about how the young adult presence, the youth presence in our community is lacking. And so we use this year's A Time to Be Grateful as that opportunity to begin to infuse our young adults into the programming in a way where there is representation across the generations as much as we possibly can. So that's exciting for me.
No, you know, as I listen to you, I can see why it would be exciting to you. It's exciting to me, and it should be exciting to our radio listening audience in terms of having, you know, fuse this intergenerational. You know, oftentimes we hear, and we are doing something about it. We don't want gaps as un-Islamic to have gaps, you know, in terms of our youth, our young adults, and, you know, middle age, and I would say seniors or pioneers in our community. This is a way in terms of actually fusing that in a way where they actually – a part of it is one of my sayings is for our young people to evolve, they have to be involved. And I think Muslim Journal, Time to Be Grateful, is doing a great job. I like the thinking, the methodology that you're using and employing this year in terms of that. So that's going to be something to really want to see our young people being involved in that. I want to go back to you, Mujahideen, and what it is that you also do. I know you, in terms of the things in terms of helping to put this together, the audio, the visual. We didn't mention the prayer. Talk about that for a minute or two, and then I want to, you know, stay with you in terms of talking about public relations. Public relations, that's a big, big, big part of it. And I want to say that it seemingly that the Time to Be Grateful has grown so much that it is the most well-attended entity in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah. And that's a blessing from Allah as well, alhamdulillah. In relation to the prayer, we know as people of faith, as Muslims, we have the five daily prayers. And so we intend to have a designated area throughout the weekend where we're going to have different imams to lead the prayer. And we're also open for our young and old scholars, male and females, to give halakas. So 5 to 10 minutes after each salat, we're going to have an opportunity for people to sign up to speak before the community in that designated area. So look forward to that. That should be publicized shortly, most likely in September when we do our flyers for each of our committees. Another committee that we're responsible for before public relations is the tour. So we're going to develop what we call the New Freedom Cultural Heritage Tour in Newark, right? Newark is the host site. The event primary is going to be at the hotel, which is at East Rutherford, which is about 15 minutes north of Newark. But on Thursday, we're going to have in the city of Newark tour. We're going to see the new home of the Muslim Journal. We're going to see the other massages and our association and other historical sites. And we're even tempted. We're being pressed. We're being pressed because we're so close to New York. We're being tempted to even take a dip to New York before we get back to the East Meadowlands.
You know, all this is in close proximity, and I know that I'm aware of the fact that some of this is still in formation. You don't want to just say it's etched in stone just yet. You're still working on that. I know it's going to be an outstanding tour that some of the believers, you know, some believers when they travel, they want to see the sights, so to speak, in boy, do we have some sites there, you know, some historical places and all of that. And this is one of the kufis that you have on your head, you know, to be in charge of that. And I want to just ask the question, how well is it going? Having people that sign up and for those persons that might be just still wondering, have they got filled up? Are they taking buses, taking vans, just what?
So really nothing has been put out there to sign up yet. I mean, we have identified over 20-something sites. We were trying to identify 25 because temple number 25, but we know we're not going to cover all 25. And so, as I said, we are still in the selection process. We know that New York is right next door. Newark and New York, they always go at it historically in our community. And so we might have to entertain that.
Well, you know, I know it's very competitive, but you know, we like to always say that it's halal competition, and I think this is being exemplified in the Time to Be Grateful, because it's like each city that is blessed to be the host city, it's like you have to up the ante from the previous year. And so those of us that was there in Washington, D.C., it's like, okay, so what is New Jersey going to do? What is Newark going to do? And I know my sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, they've already made that decision in terms of where it's going to be. But boy, she's not like an old refrigerator where you can't keep nothing. She keeps it very well guarded. Sometimes it slipped out, and it's kind of slipped out a little bit because I was at the press conference, of course. But I tell you, there are a lot standing in line for next year, 2024. But it's a lot of hard work that actually go into this, and those things that have become people been accustomed to going to the time to be grateful. These addendums and additional addendums each and every year. So you're still working. It's still a work in progress in terms of that. So, you know, there'll be representatives next month. So maybe by that time we'll have further to say in regards to this tour. But what's the feeling, Dean Muhammad, in terms of people wanting to get on board, so to speak?
Yeah, people are looking forward to coming to Newark. They're coming, number one, because of the event, but also to visit the new home of the Muslim Journal. And as
yes.
Aisha Mustafa reminds us, is that she even adopted the mayor of Newark as our mayor, our community's mayor, because of the welcome, the warm welcome that he gave us when we did our Muslim Journal campaign concert a year or so ago. He not only just came and gave us a proclamation, he also sat among us to enjoy the concert.
Yeah.
And so the city is wide open for us. Muslims have long standing, even before our community's history in Newark, you have the Moorish Science Temple of America. You have the some other groups that we've come to know also as we are revisiting the history of Muslims in Newark. In New Jersey also had just got designated by the governor, Murphy, that January 2024 and beyond will be known as Muslim Heritage Month. So we're going to also have a special
Allahu Akbar.
That Thursday, which is something new to the A Time to Be Grateful, that Thursday we're going to have the tour, but we're also going to have a full-fledged exhibit. We have multiple exhibits coming throughout the country highlighting our history, and we're going to use that as a springboard to highlight Muslim Heritage Month in New Jersey.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. Oh, man, it got me all excited already, and I'm quite sure our radio listening audience should be. If you just tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And I have at the roundtable our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Mujahideen Muhammad and Marsha Nivens. They're representatives and representing well this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful to be held in the new home of the Muslim Journal, that's Newark, New Jersey. So if you have any questions or comments, this is your time. Press 1, and Rashid Salam will let me know that you raise your hand, you want to ask a question, make a comment. It may be something that we don't get to tonight, but never fear. Muslim Journal and Time to Be Grateful have at least three, I think it's three or four more times before this actually takes place each month. I've designated a time each month for them to have representatives on and to continue to update you on the progress of this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. I want to go back to you, Marsha, and Rashid Salam, alert me if there's any hands in the air. Somebody have a question or comment. I don't run out of questions or comments. We might run out of time, but I won't run out of questions or comments in terms of this entity. This is one of our largest entities, and probably the one that most people look forward to at the end of the year, how it's staged. And Professor Aisha has told us all of that between Thanksgiving and our Christian brothers and sisters, big holiday Christmas. It is a time to be grateful. So, Marcia, when we look back, you know, in terms of how this has evolved in terms of our youth and young adults being involved, make the distinction, if you will, between how we're seeing youth in terms of age-wise, young adults, I know that, I guess, as we reveal our story, the MCC, I'm very familiar with them, the Muslim Culture Con, actually had a presence last year. And from what I've been informed, they'll have a presence this year, but they'll be joined by other young adults. What can we look for, as this is family-friendly, what can we possibly look for from our youth and young adults, as much as you can say, and I know some of that still is information. Sister Marsha?
Absolutely. Yep. And so in terms of the distinction between youth and young adults, I'll start with young adults first. So we carved out an age range of 18 to 35, maybe even up to 40, right? And so I always make a joke about, you know, the whole youth and young adult designation in this community because, you know, they'll be calling me a youth, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm 43. I don't necessarily feel like a youth, right? So we always seem to have, like, a hard time defining what ages fall into the category, right? And so for the youth, we, you know, because young adults is 18-plus, we were sort of thinking that youth would be anything below 18. But we also know that, you know, if we're going to have some young people that are, like, 16 and 17, they would probably be, even 15, they would probably be more suited for the activities that are that we're having for the young adults rather than for the younger children. And we're thinking about, in terms of youth, we're thinking about doing activities like a movie night, a paint and sip, maybe a gaming station. There'll be a story time by a book company. And then maybe one more, like, physical activity for the children. And all of that, like you said, is still being formed. And so that's on the youth end. And then on the young adult end, I mean, these young adults have got some very creative ideas for what they want to do this weekend. And it's just exciting to see them come up with these innovative ideas and really look to make their presence known at a time to be grateful. And so they're planning things like a sneaker ball. They're also planning a meet and greet for young adults, right? The ones who are planning this, they're all from the Newark area. And so it's going to be a good opportunity for them to meet other young adults around the country. And you mentioned Muslim Culture Con. I know that that's a part of their mission is to sort of tie the young adults across the country together. And so I just feel like the work that the young adults who are working on A Time to Be Grateful, the work that they do is just going to help to strengthen what's already being done to really tie together those young adults across the country. And then they, you know, they have some things. I won't let it all out of the bag, but like I said, it's really exciting to watch just them really make their mark. They're also looking to do a paint and sip event for their meet and greet. So I'm just happy for all of this to occur in December, and I can't wait for it to happen. One of the things, though, I do want to go back and mention on the workshop tip is there will be something each day focused on the Muslim Journal. So you'll get an opportunity to meet the board of the Muslim Journal, right? That'll be like a meet and greet to meet the board members, right? And then there'll be something centered around, obviously, our theme, right? Words Make People. That's going to be a featured workshop. And then there's going to be a time where you get to hear what the plans are around marketing for the Muslim Journal as we move the journal forward. And then there'll be a subscription drive that's going to happen. So, yeah, we're doing all of these other different activities, and it's great, right, because it ties the community together. But we also are not losing the focus that this is about the Muslim Journal and that there will be that emphasis on knowing and learning more about the journal throughout the weekend.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's great. You know, what it is that you just said, because you really said a mouthful there, because we want a radio listening audience to know, if you didn't already know, this is the biggest fundraiser for the Muslim Journal annually. This is the biggest fundraiser. So just as you heard Sister Marcia say, in terms of subscription, and, you know, Sister Martha, each and every production here on IWDM Radio, that's the last thing I say in announcing the programming here on IWDM Radio. And last but not least, do not forget the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood and still is the lifeblood of our community. Keep your subscriptions up. If you have the wherewithal, then make it a gift for a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a community member, a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So we want to also always emphasize that and keep that at the forefront of people's mind. You know, there are other things, entities that actually happen, and, you know, in terms of actually alerting the community, informing the community. We'll go back to you, my dear brother, in terms of looking at the work that you also, I guess, another kufi that you have on your head, which is very, very important. Public relations is so very important. I once had that title when I was with the sister station, which was AM 360 radio, and CWSC, and being a public relations affairs director for them. Talk a little bit, if you would, Mujahideen, in terms of the public relations. Sometimes I go unnoticed, but you're doing a lot of alerting to the public and getting ready, and almost every time to be grateful starts right after one ends in terms of public relations, and even further on into that. Dean, Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure. The beautiful thing about this year, chair of the public relations, our dear sister, Madam Karan Shacker. And so, you know, her work and her impact in our community. And so I'm not going to spoil the thunder. And so she'll be one of our guests that will come on. And she'll lay out, she already actually laid out an extensive strategy for public relations. But I will share something that we are working on. It's not final, but we're going to put out there. We value you all as duas, as well as your dollars for participating in these events, right? And so we were blessed to have a meeting, myself, the president, Imam Abdul Karim, and our A Time to Be Grateful chair, Sister Joan Najila. We were blessed to have a meeting with the mayor in his office. And we had a mayor with a meeting with the Mayor Roz Baraka of Newark, New Jersey. He was all ears. And he said, whatever you want, just let me know. He pointed us to different people that we had in contact, which was also communication. But Newark has something unique. What Newark does, they have what they call a flag raising. And so every community in Newark, every community in Newark have an opportunity to raise their community flag. And so if Allah sees it fit, we have an intention to have, along with our press conference, the flag raising of our community, inshallah. So we just put that out there. But
again, and I was going to ask you about that, but you just kind of, you know, went into that road in terms of that. So the press conference, which was an outstanding press conference last year in D.C., as Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad was introduced, the press conference is set for what, Dean Muhammad? What time?
It hasn't been confirmed. We're trying to do either Thursday or Friday. So once we get the confirmation from the mayor, if it's going to be there at City Hall, we're going to try to include the flag raising. If not, it'll be at the Thursday lineup with the kickoff with the book fair and the expo.
And that's a – let me stay here with you, Dean Muhammad, in terms of I think that that's somewhat of an addendum to I think you all are being very observant and knowing and realizing that there are a lot of believers that come in early Thursday. They get in, you know, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, and they really don't have anything to do but go somewhere and maybe eat lunch, depending on what time they get, or eat dinner, but actually no type of activity. So I guess you and Marsha could probably, you know, say something in regards to actually making sure that there was something that would be done on Thursday for those early arrivals.
Absolutely. The other thing is that, so yes, it is an opportunity for the early arrivals to have activity since they're coming in. But it's also to give an opportunity for us to have more community engagement. If we're sort of thinking about how the governmental systems work or the press systems work, a lot of times, you know, that activity really happens during the week, and it gives us an opportunity to be able to partner with the mayor's office and have a press conference that includes them, because it's a little bit further into the week rather than later on Friday, where we may not necessarily have gotten that presence from the local officials to be a part of a time to be grateful. But for us, it was also to have this history piece really be highlighted and be able to be a standalone part of a time to be grateful, because that's so key that we continue to highlight the history and know the history, particularly for our younger population, right? For them to, that goes back to the literacy piece, right? You want to be able to know and understand the journey that we've taken, and it's a rich one. And there's a lot of work that has been done by the parent generation and by our pioneers, and it's worth us seeing, highlighting, emphasizing.
I'm really loud. That's excellent. You know, boy, I got so many questions. I know I'm going to run out of time before I could ask all these questions. Rashid Salam, if we have any hands in the air, please let me know, or if you've got a question, a comment that you'd like to make, you know, you can do so. But very important, something that I know those who are regular attendees each year, they look forward to Saturday night as they have the big banquet, the awards. I should say awards banquet. I need to put a couple of adjectives in front of that. Recognition, outstanding members of different components in community life, as the Muslim Journal recognized, and there's been some outstanding awardees down through the years. I was even a surprise awardee back in 2017. I didn't even have any idea that I would get an award in terms of the Time to Be Grateful Muslim Journal Award for excellence in broadcasting. After, you know, all the broadcasters, I think, are very outstanding that I was the recipient of that award. But this year, how far along, I'm going to stay with you, Marsha, on this, and then I'm going to give the last question to Dean Muhammad in terms of the Sunday morning breakfast, and also what has been traditional in terms of kind of updating the community as to the direction that we're looking at. So, Marsha, if you could, you'll take a couple few minutes to give us a little information on that, if you have any information on that. And we don't want to wait too late, because I remember last year having representatives on Washington, D.C., it was right on the brink of a sellout. Marsha?
Right. Yeah. So for Sunday, what we have lined up is the business breakfast, which traditionally happens on that Sunday morning. And without going into too much detail, right, because we want to wait until we get these flyers ready to submit to, you know, to the community so that we get all excited to come. But I will say this. I will say this, that the business breakfast will feature some really unique opportunities that are available in our community right now. I think that on the business front, we have some members of our community who are connected both locally in terms of the national scene, but also international, and with them comes opportunities for investment that could help to improve our situation, improve the financial status of the journal, improve the financial status in our local massages and communities. And so that business breakfast will be the opportunity to hear more about what these investment ventures are, and to really get to be up close and personal with members of our community who are really at the forefront of pushing those initiatives forward, people that we don't necessarily get to see every day or connect with every day that are really making an impact. And so I think it's a unique opportunity for us to sit and listen and see how we could be involved. And then there'll be some opportunities to do some networking amongst each other. So I would say bring your business cards. Absolutely. Absolutely. Bring your business cards. You're going to be able to connect with your brothers and sisters who are doing some amazing work, and it will help to maybe push even what you have forward. And then we have plans also for Sunday. We usually do the interfaith talim, and so we're sort of working out what that's going to look like this year. We're teetering between, you know, whether or not it's going to be a full-fledged interfaith talim or if there's going to be a community discussion. So we'll see. We'll see where that lands.
I know
I like the idea of both of them. And there's some opportunity for growth in either which one we choose.
We got to get Mujahideen back in here. And I'm going to close with this question. And, you know, it's so ironic that I hadn't the last time I had seen my good sister and friend, Sawa El-Amin, she was, what was in Los Angeles, California, that was 2019. You know, I had done a workshop. She had done some performing and everything, and I was trying to get her, you know, to, you know, be on my production. Oh, Brother Mark Shaheen, you know, I don't do interviews. I am so shy. And, you know, it kind of reminds you of, you know, those that may have known Michael Jackson. When he was on stage, he was just a totally different person, but he was very, an introvert, you know, and all, and just liked to stay to himself and everything. But I'm telling you, Sawa El-Amin has come out of her shell. And she has agreed next Wednesday here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, to give me an exclusive interview here on IWDM Radio. How about that? And I heard, Mujahideen, that she,
yes, sir,
I think is the director of culture night and all of that. Take a couple of minutes, if you would, and if you can give us a little something. Don't let the, as they say, don't let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, because she'll be with us, inshallah, next week here on the MGM Roundtable. Well, how'd you think?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so not only is she the director, she's the chair, and she's going to, I'm sure, bless us with her voice as well. But the culture night, which will be Friday night, as you said about her and her work with her extravaganza, she just finished up an excellent one out here out in Connecticut. And so she's bringing all that flavor, her talent, and her team to conduct an excellent program all the way up to the hour. So it's going to be nonstop entertainment Friday night. Mm-hmm. As the report she gave today, they had to decide between over 40 entertainers in our community, artists. And so they have a jam-packed, power-packed lineup that she's going to present for you all. Yes, sir.
I can't wait. I can't wait. And I'm telling our radio listeners on this, don't you wait. Don't be late. Don't procrastinate. Don't deliberate. You got to go ahead and get registered right now. And I want to give you a minute. Sister Marsha, give you the opportunity. What's that website? How can the believers get on and go ahead and start registering so they won't be locked out or saying that it's full? We have to put you in the overflow room for the banquet and all. Sister Marsha, you got a minute.
Okay, so in order to connect with the Muslim Journals of Time to Be Grateful ticket sales, you're going to go visit www.masjidalhaq.com. And so you're going to go to the Masjid's page. And as soon as you get there, it's going to say NORC's Finest Legacy Entities, Muslim Journal, and Masjid al-Haq presents the 19th annual A Time to Be Grateful Conference. And you'll see an opportunity to go in there and purchase your tickets. You'll find hotel information there. And you're going to be able to, it'll take you for the tickets, it'll take you to Eventbrite where you go ahead and purchase whatever selection of tickets you'd like. There are packages there. There are individual tickets available there. Don't be late. This is one for the books.
Okay. So I will give you 30 seconds, each one of you. 30 seconds to answer this question. 30 seconds. Before we have to sign off, before we get cut off, 30 seconds, why should you attend this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful? I'm going to start with you, Marsha. I'm going to let Mujahideen have the last word in this. Marsha, why should you?
Yes, it's an opportunity for you to come and be with your brothers and sisters during a time where we're showing gratitude for all that we've experienced throughout the year, and it's also a time for us to learn more and more about different aspects of our development, and it's more importantly, it's a time to support the Muslim Journal as one unity.
Alhamdulillah. All right, Mujahideen, it is your 30 seconds, and what should this year?
Because it's continuing a legacy of not just the Muslim Journal Time to Be Grateful, but the Muslim Journal's 60-plus years of independent Islamic media. I watch various intelligent departments speak about the impact of media, and they say the fastest way of anything is in social media and in media in general. And so while we're here to celebrate each other, it's a time to be grateful, our community's legacy and history, we're also making that imprint and continuing the truth teaching in this space of media. If we're not presenting our image of what al-Islam is, who can present better? And so you're being a part of that by joining and participating. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank both of you all. You know you have an open door policy here on IWDM Radio. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. And want to say that concludes tonight's productions here on IWDM Radio with our very, very distinct special guest tonight, graced us here on IWDM Radio. Want to say the beat goes on. Here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab, it's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I'll be flying solo tomorrow, but we'll have Instructor Abdul Shahid and his wife, 53 years of marriage, and they will be my special guest tomorrow, and they'll be giving their marriage narrative, so you want to tune in. And they also will be giving their insight and wisdom to my true love recipe. And you don't want to miss that because it is L4. It is about loyalty, learning together, listening, and laughter. So they'll be commenting on the true love recipe on L4. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Friday is slot to Jumu'ah Day. Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, for slot to Jumu'ah starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar. Once again, the Imam, Mikhail Sahir, that starts each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern is high noon. Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, Imam Pasha, he hosts a production called ABC, Al-Islam Based Conversation. That's Nazim Pasha, that is. Each and every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern is 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, who's engineering for me tonight, he has an outstanding production along with his honored guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You have to bring your notebook and pad to take all that information. You know, don't miss that. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. You just heard it tonight, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. That's each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And last but not least, you just heard it live, the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It happens at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And please, don't forget your Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of this community. Make sure you keep your subscription and find somebody, if you have the wherewithal, to make sure you give a gift to somebody that is in need of that, or even your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And don't forget this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful in the new home of the Muslim Journal, Newark, New Jersey. Please go ahead and get registered. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. That's all, folks.